Another week, another twist in the budget drama. Last week it was on the spending side. This week it's kind of related to revenue. Republicans finding a reason to balk at considering the tax increase portion of Governor Carney's shared sacrifice formula. What's the stumbling block here?
I think it's simply Republicans don't want to raise the personal income tax without any new changes to prevailing wage. And that's been something that Democrats have been extremely reluctant to move on. The changes outlined in a bill that's looking for co-sponsors right now would exempt county and city governments from paying prevailing wage on public works projects for 3 years. Not the state, would not apply to the state where a lot of that that funding comes from. Mm-hmm. The GOP, in theory, already agreed to raise the corporate franchise tax, which passed the House recently, still has to go through the Senate. But a boost to the personal income tax is much harder for Republicans to swallow, and they want the D's to share their pain. So the GOP seems much less upset over making more cuts to the budget to cover this projected $65 million that would be raised through the income tax.
Republicans have put prevailing wage on the table for a number of years now, but it always seemed to be something kind of a stalking horse, a chip to be played in negotiations, but maybe not something that they were really serious about. Are they more serious this year about it?
Yeah, I think they've always been relatively serious about it, but it's just that they haven't had much more power, or rather they have much more power than they've had in a while. So Democrats need Republican votes to pass portions of the budget, not to mention any kind of tax or fee increase that they might come up with. And meanwhile, the GOP's political philosophy dovetails nicely with their current situation. So reining in spending has always been one of their core beliefs. So why not do it this year? Meanwhile, Democrats have been agonizing over these cuts, even to the point where House and Senate leadership shut down budget committee meetings, and that's something that we haven't seen before.
Now, Democrats say prevailing wage is a non-starter for them, but you indicated in your reporting this week that they have been willing to make a deal on this issue in the past. Is there much, if any, room for similar dealing this time around?
Yeah, I think there might have to be. So like you mentioned, if you look back a couple years ago, the Dems did move on prevailing wage in order to pass their five-year infrastructure plan. They agreed to raise the limit on how much a project costs before you have to pay prevailing wage on these public works projects. And that was a last-minute deal introduced after midnight on July 1st. And it's important to note here that there are other things that Republicans want, but no one that I talked to would tell me what they are specifically. So Democrats might have limited options to avoid prevailing wage changes, but who knows if these other things on the table are even harder for them to swallow that they don't want to recognize.
Having said all of that, how bad is the atmosphere in terms of the budget right now? Could we be looking at a situation where we really don't have a budget ready to vote on even on June 30th?
Yeah, it's not great. So Democrats have tried to put on a relatively positive face on these budget talks over the past couple months. And GOP has generally backed that up, saying that they think things were moving along at the time. But now that the left has tried to dig their heels in during this game of tug of war, I think Republicans are almost ready to let go of their rope to let the Democrats fall on their face. So the Joint Finance Committee leaders say they want to restart budget meetings pretty quickly to avoid a last-minute budget, but we're going to have to see if that comes to pass.
Meanwhile, other non-budget issues did move this week. Let's start with the state revising the Coastal Zone Act. What happened in that area this week?
Yeah, so that bill would open up the Coastal Zone Act for 14 pre-selected sites, most of them in Newcastle County, just one in Kent County, to try and spur redevelopment of these sites. And that means new heavy industry could move along the shorelines here. So there would be some restrictions, no new oil refineries or steel plants, but it's nowhere near as strict as current regulations are. So there was a 2.5-hour hearing Wednesday where the proposal overwhelmingly got out of committee. And really, at the core issue are businesses and trade groups wanting to clean up these heavily polluted sites, spur new business, get more people here to Delaware, while environmentalist groups are trying to save something that they've held dear for nearly 50 years.
And that strength of the vote to get it out of the House committee, is that an indication that environmental groups may face more of an uphill battle to stop this legislation than maybe people initially thought?
Yeah, considering it's sponsored by a decent amount of Democrats, I'm not really seeing a path forward for environmental groups to actually block it. I mean, Republicans have been talking about doing something similar for years, and with the numbers that they have, it would only take a few D's to vote for it, especially in the Senate.
Physician-assisted suicide is on its way to the House floor now. What are the prospects there? And even if it does pass the House, Will it be hard-pressed to get through the Senate by the end of this month and the end of this particular session's year?
Yeah, I'd say the bill sponsor didn't even know it would get out of committee this week. So that should tell you something. I mean, Representative Paul Bomback says he's optimistic it could pass in the full House, but he's got a few things working against him. At least two of these Democrats in committee who voted for it to be released said that they wouldn't necessarily support it on the House floor. So even if it doesn't get a vote this year, Bomback still has 2018 to make a push if he wants to.
Say, it may be to his benefit to let it go until next year and maybe have a little more time to garner some support for it.
Well, it seemed to work for him in the past. I mean, 2 years ago, he introduced this, no co-sponsors. He has a handful of them now, and it got shut down pretty quickly in 2015, whereas, you know, here you had about the same amount of debate, but obviously a different result.
The abortion bill to line up Delaware's law with Roe v. Wade cleared its last hurdle in the House, but the Republicans didn't let it pass without saying their piece, did they?
No, and we had another two-hour debate on this issue with a long break in between so Republicans could redraft amendments that all eventually did fail. And it's nothing that we didn't expect. I mean, we saw the same resistance in the Senate. House Republicans tried to change the bill by keeping it illegal to perform an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, which is in the code right now. So you had a couple other amendments, like making it so you couldn't abort a fetus if it could survive outside the womb with extraordinary medical intervention, intubation, things like that. Another would have required written consent from women before performing an abortion. But something I think that was noteworthy after the bill passed, Governor John Carney's spokesman gave a statement saying that Carney hopes lawmakers can now focus its attention on the budget. And that, frankly, angered more than a few people in his own party. And it makes me wonder how that might come back on Carney later.
He's got a lot on his plate. And one of the other things on his plate is the prison reform and the independent review that he asked for. The preliminary findings came last week. He reacted this week to those preliminary findings on that Vaughan prison uprising. Anything stand out in what the governor had to say on that issue this week?
Yeah, we have a few things. So he's trying hard to change the culture in the prison system, especially a perceived disconnect between day-to-day staff and their management. He wants to temporarily hire someone to bridge that divide. Carney also wants to buy $2 million worth of new cameras for James T. Vaughan, since the review found there were few installed in the prison, and those that were aren't modern. He wants to revamp reentry programs. But the governor was pretty blunt during the press conference. I mean, he said he's not sure if they will be successful, which is why he's ordering multiple progress reports along the line for some of these items. He also said he's disappointed that the criminal investigation is taking so long, and we still don't know when that will wrap up.
And just to kind of bring this full circle, anything he really wants to do, particularly in terms of staffing, pay, cameras, all costs money, and it goes back to what we started talking about, which is the budget. There's just no money there right now.
Right. Well, so they're renegotiating the union contract right now with the prison guards. That will run out next fiscal year. So they still have a little bit of time to work with to try and dig up some money on that side, even though prison guards say, you know, this can't wait any longer. So we'll see. He may, in fact, actually have new positions to fill at these prisons. But whether or not people come and apply for them, that's a different matter.
All very interesting. And obviously, we are likely to have even more drama next week. James Dawson, thanks so much for joining us here on The Green this week.
Thank you, Tom.